So we are celebrating that Jesus has risen, and we're looking at chapter 20 of John's Gospel. And we see in this chapter that several people come to believe in Jesus because he's risen from the dead. And as we look at their stories, I hope that we can reflect perhaps on how we came to faith and what it means for us, that we can perhaps think about how others come to faith and what we can do to help them, but that also we're going to consider this new life that we have in Jesus. But I think most importantly, more than anything else this afternoon, I hope we go away being thankful that we believe in Jesus and celebrating that we have life in his name. So that was why John wrote his gospel. Did you pick that up? End of John 20, verses 30 to 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John was motivated to write down what he saw Jesus say and do, because he believed it would be beneficial for others. He knew that people would find fullness of life by trusting in Jesus Christ. And so I wonder how motivated you and I are to tell others about what we've seen Jesus say and do. You don't have to write a book, although you can do if you want to. Maybe you like to put things on social media. Maybe you're more of a card or a letter type person. Or perhaps just talking, bringing it up in conversation. Well, the other day I was praying and Jesus said to me, whatever he said. But here's an Easter challenge for you and for me. Presuming you have found life in Jesus, and I believe that most of us have, find some way of sharing something that Jesus has done for you with someone else so that they might also have that chance to believe. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. In fact, I propose that our witness is most effective when it comes out of our everyday experiences of Jesus, of sharing how Jesus has answered a prayer or God has spoken to you in prayer, sharing how something you've read in the Bible has touched you or taught you something, perhaps sharing how the Holy Spirit has come alongside you and encouraged you or prompted you or challenged you. And so my first point this morning, this afternoon, if there is a point, would be, how about we make an Easter resolution to talk about Jesus more with our friends and our family, our neighbours and the people we meet? Because as we look at the people who believed in this chapter, many of them heard from somebody else. But we're starting by looking at Thomas. So this is John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus pronounces a blessing on those who believe without seeing. And that's wonderful, because that includes us. But no, he doesn't actually condemn Thomas for not believing until he had seen the evidence for himself. Jesus' response to Thomas's questions was to show him his hands and his side, then to tell him to stop doubting and to believe. And in that monologue that we heard, how Thomas imagined and was said to, like, you know, "It's perfectly reasonable that I should want proof." That's what he was saying. And actually, in many ways it is, isn't it? I mean, we call people who believe everything they're told naive and foolish. We expect people to weigh up what they hear and what they're told, and to ask themselves if it's reasonable and believable. So I want to caution us this afternoon not to make Thomas into a bad guy, or indeed to make him less than the other disciples. We don't know why he wasn't with the others that first time that Jesus appeared, but we do know that once he had seen the evidence, he believed. And that belief was just as valid as that of Peter and John. And I'm assuming that the other disciple in this passage is John, although admittedly we're not actually told that was his name, but verses 1 to 10 of John chapter 20 read like this. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Thomas wanted to see the evidence, but John simply saw an empty tomb and believed. And you may think, wow, John, I wish I had your faith. But did you notice that he saw and believed, but did not understand? And John's belief in many ways was amazing, but it lacked understanding. And that didn't make it invalid. Belief, trust, faith in Jesus is what matters. It doesn't matter how you come to believe, and it doesn't matter how much you understand, but it does matter if you choose to trust in Jesus. However, I would think believing and understanding is a good combination, and John and the other disciples do go on to understand so much more about why Jesus died and rose again, and they go on to teach others and explain the scriptures to them. And that's wonderful. But again, I'm going to remind us, it's secondary to just believing in Jesus. See, requiring evidence to make your faith, requiring evidence does not make your faith less than others who believe without seeing. And being able to teach and understand doesn't make your faith greater than those who simply believe. Believing is what's important. But is that all that there is to it? Is that all that we have to offer this Easter to say, believe in Jesus? Well, let's read verses 19 to 21. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to the disciples. He greets them with peace, and he shows them his hands and his side. Jesus showed up. Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and they were overjoyed. But Jesus wasn't done. Next, he declares peace is theirs, and he says that he's sending them as the Father has sent him. He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then there's that rather interesting statement about if you forgive others, they're forgiven, and if you don't, they aren't. Well, we're not going to get sidetracked by that statement at the moment. What I want us to notice is that the disciples see, believe, and receive. They don't simply believe, but they receive the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus is returning to the Father's side, but the Holy Spirit is here to stay. And so believing in Jesus brings life, because believing in Jesus means that we receive the Holy Spirit, who is our ever-present help and advocate. And so if we stop at just believing, we risk having a faith that is no more than a statement of the mind. But actually, if we believe and receive, then we can have fullness of life, because we have the presence of God with us and within us. And that's awesome. But I think it's also an awesome responsibility, judging by Jesus' words, because he says that we have the power to forgive sins or not. And so I think that line from the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us," is so important to keep praying, isn't it? We don't want to get sidetracked by that business of forgiving and so on at the moment, because that's not what we're here to celebrate this afternoon. Maybe we'll look at it again another time, but keep the Lord's Prayer in mind. We are to forgive others as we have been forgiven. But there's somebody else in this story. So let's have a look at Mary in John 20, verses 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with that news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them and that he had said these things to her. Now, I maintain that it really doesn't matter how we come to believe, but that the important thing is that we do believe and trust in Jesus. But how blessed is Mary that she is the first to see the risen Lord? And at first she doesn't recognise him, and perhaps she's too caught up in her grief, too concerned with finding a body to realise that Jesus now lives. But when she recognises him, she calls out and she comes to him. And Jesus says she can't hold on to him, that he has to go back, but she is to go and tell the good news to the others. Mary encounters Jesus. She sees him, she hears him, she touches him. And so too, later, do the other disciples, but Mary is the first. And so I want to say this afternoon that believing is not just knowing something to be true. Believing or trusting in Jesus is to meet with Jesus. It's to encounter him and to come to know the person of Jesus. It's not knowing something about Jesus. It's not about being able to tell some stories of what Jesus has done. Believing or having faith in Jesus is about having a relationship with Jesus in which we personally encounter the Lord. And so I return to that challenge at the start. Who might you go and tell? Today, this week, next year, this year, next month, whenever. Who will you go and tell that you have met the risen Lord? Now, having looked at some people who came to believe that first Easter, I hope that you might go away and reflect on how you came to believe and how you can witness to others about that. And perhaps we'll be encouraged to remember that there are so many different ways of coming to faith, and that we need to be careful not to disparage somebody else's because it was different from our experience. But I want to finish on the fact that it is through believing in Jesus that we have life. We're going to use some verses from 1 and 2 Timothy, where Paul writes about the kind of faith we have and the kind of life that we've received. So as I read these verses, listen out for how Paul describes our faith or belief in Jesus, because he says it's sincere. He says it's in the person of Jesus, I know whom I have believed. And he says that our faith is guarded by the Holy Spirit. And they're important things to hold on to and remember. But Paul also goes on to write that we have a holy life that is not without suffering, that we have eternal life, that we're not going to die and become nothing, that death has been swallowed up, and that actually we have life after physical death. But we're also told that this is life in the Spirit, and it's characterised by power and love and self-discipline. And so I remind us this afternoon that the life we receive in Jesus is not the promise of more days on earth. It's not a promise of life full of the things that the world considers good. The life that we're promised is one of life with and in and for God. And so Paul writes that we have hope in the living God. Our life is found in the living God. What greater reason do we have to celebrate this afternoon? So I finish with 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. "But for this reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. 1 Timothy 4:10. That is why we labour and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the saviour of all people, and especially those who believe. And then 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. And recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you also. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and that is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. And so what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So shall we celebrate in song that we believe in Jesus Christ who died and rose again to save us, and we now have life. Eternal, holy life, full of power, love, and self-discipline. To God be the glory.